Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. May the Lord bless our understanding of these words. Now you may wonder why I'm reading from the story of Jesus' temptation when we're in Christmas time. Now, how could Jesus be tempted as a little baby? And what do we think of the temptation of Christ during this time of Christmas? Jesus comes to us at Christmas time as this little tiny baby in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger filled with straw, surrounded by oxen and donkeys and sheep and stinky, sweaty shepherds who have come to talk to him and see, and a little drummer boy who keeps playing at midnight for some reason. And Mary nods her head and says, "That's good." No idea why. And I forget his name, but the Christmas donkey is also there. But Jesus comes as this little baby, bereft of the throne of God that was his birthright, choosing since before the beginning of time to give all that up and just come down to earth. I like that there was a commercial that ran on Family Life Network where the angels are talking about Jesus coming down. And they're saying things like, "Oh, the big guy's about to go down. All right, where's he going to be born? Is he going to be born in the finest of palaces?" And the other angels go, No, he's going to be born in a stable, you know, where the horses are kept. Or it's an Israelite stable. They probably couldn't afford horses. Where the donkeys are kept. Oh, well, are we going to go, is the honor guard going to go with him? All of the archangels going to show up and stay by his side the whole time? He said, No. He's not going to have the angels hanging out around him or keeping him safe or anything. He's just going to go by himself. Well, can't we do something? Yeah, we're going to go tell some shepherds about it. What? It didn't happen the way that it should have happened for royalty to suddenly be born. And I like when we sing the first song that we sang this morning, and it talks about, you know, how silently the gift is given. I'm wondering, given Mary was probably about 14 years old, if she begs to differ on how silent it happened to be when Jesus was born. I hope that God made it a very easy delivery. But how many of you have had kids the normal way? How often is it silent? Even without all the beeping and the doctor and the nurse and all that kind of stuff going, push, breathe, you know, that kind of thing. Usually birth is a fairly loud affair and fairly messy. But so I go back once again to why did I talk about Jesus being tempted? Jesus is born in a stable. He is raised by his parents, and before he's 2 years old, they have to flee to Egypt because King Herod has sent soldiers to kill every child below the age of two in the town of Bethlehem. Actually, I might be getting it wrong. The town of Nazareth, they went back. But he knows that these people are here somewhere, and he wants them dead, and so they have to leave Israel and move to Egypt until they hear that King Herod dies and has been replaced by a new guy, and then they come back. Mary and Joseph, it's a good thing that they got those gifts from the wise men. A little bit earlier this week, I saw a comic that pops up pretty much every Christmas on the internet. And it's the one where it says a little while later, the three wise women came. And they brought diapers, blankets, and formula. And I like to make fun of that by going, okay, and when they left, they were still in a stable. But with the gold, they were able to buy a house. Kind of a difference between making him comfortable and being, you know, whatever, modern messages. But They were able to leave, go to Egypt, and I think that the gold, frankincense, and myrrh probably helped quite a bit in them being able to travel and secure a home and all that. We don't hear about them having any relatives to move in with. We don't hear about how they managed to get past, you know, the guards and everybody who would be like, why are the Israelites coming into our country? Those kind of things. All of this leads to Jesus having a very tumultuous childhood. Most of you know, if you suddenly are driven out of your country with nothing to your name but the clothes on your back, it generally doesn't set you up to have a good start to life. There's a thing called ACEs, which is an acronym. I'm not going to go into what it all stands for, but it's an acronym that basically means all of the different things that can happen to a kid that can mess them up for the rest of their lives. And all the things they would have to overcome as they grow older. And among those things, having to suddenly leave your country or leave your home and not knowing where you're going to live, not knowing where your next meal is going to come from, those are big things on that list. When I moved down to North Carolina, or the 2 days after we got married, I was in seminary right away, and I saw at one of the classes they were talking about filling out this list where there are a certain number of points assigned to life events. And it was supposed to figure out, I don't know why we were getting this in the very first couple of days of this class, but we were supposed to figure out if you were close to a nervous breakdown. Might have something to do with starting seminary, I don't know. But it was all these things like, have you had to move? Have you had a change in employment? Have you had a change in marital status? Have you had a change in all these different things? And as I'm going down, it says if you get above 100 points, you should be talking to a psychiatrist because you're close to a nervous breakdown. We were somewhere at like 247. And I was like, well, this is just what happens when you move and you have to get a new job and you just got married. And you know, it's just all these things that happen. It's just the thing that these things all travel together. If one thing happens, chances are 10 of the other things are all going to happen at the same time. Because anytime there's a big upheaval, it can mess with you. Jesus was born knowing that all this was going to happen to him. And sometimes I wonder if God, when he sent Jesus down, did he make him a baby like what we have today? You know, a little baby, completely helpless, has to have everything done for them. Or is it like the Catholic paintings where Jesus is just a little dude? You know, he's got a full head of hair. He's sitting up looking right at the painter going, hi. You know, was he born, came out, and it was just like one of those movies where John Travolta is the voice of the baby, and the baby is fully conscious of everything that's going on and fully capable of doing everything? Was it like that, or was he just a little baby? I like to think he was a little baby, and he grew like a normal person. You know, just because he had the mind of God didn't mean the brain was fully developed. Fully man and fully God, well, you got to deal with your limitations. But he was born into this, and then when the devil takes him when he's 30 years old and takes him up to the height of the mountain and tempts him and says, you have the ability to just say, I am your Lord. This is the devil talking. And I will give you all the kingdoms of the world and everything. The vast expanse of humanity will all bow down and worship you. And Jesus says, no. God is the only one worth being worshipped. And the devil has to go away and the angels come and attend to Jesus. How many of you remember the Greek story of Atlas? I should see a couple of hands. You all got it in like 7th and 8th grade, right? For some reason, they really double down on teaching you Greek religion when you're in middle school. But the story of Atlas is that he was one of the Titans in Greek mythology, and he was tasked with holding the sky. Okay, many of you have seen the statue where he's holding the orb, the earth, on his back. Well, he was holding up the sky in the Greek mythology. Because if he moved, the sky would come crashing down on the earth. And Atlas was, well, the story was that he had a talk with Hercules, and he got Hercules to hold it up for him at some point. Hercules had to trick him into picking it back up again. But the big statue of him is that he has the world on his shoulders. He has to hold up the planet. I guess if he was standing on his hands, he'd be holding the world, since he's holding the sky with his feet. But Jesus was born knowing that he was going to, what did the angels say? Joy to the world, peace on earth to those on whom God's favor rests. Jesus was born knowing that he had the whole world on his shoulders. Whether or not the world would have peace, whether or not the world would have joy, was fully dependent on him. Kind of makes you think, what person would choose to be born into a stable in a manger filled with straw, surrounded by animals and livestock and smelly people, and would choose to have the world placed on their shoulders? How many of you have seen the before and after pictures of, say, presidents of the United States? Where you see the picture of, you know, like somebody like George Bush going in to the presidency and then what they look like when they come back out? You know, even somebody who's been in only 4 years looks like they've aged 20 years in the time they've been in there. I don't know if they get one of those Harry Potter time control devices, and so they're actually living three times as much time as we are during that time, but they always look significantly older when they're done than when they started. And people go, oh, well, you know, it's just the normal passage of time and all that, and I go, no, no, no. Hollywood actors and actresses look identical from when they're 20 to when they're 85. Don't tell me that somebody spends 8 years in office and it's just the normal passage of time. Somebody goes into office, you know, like Obama went in and he had a full head of black hair. 6 years later, it was white. It doesn't move that fast. And if it does, most people would dye it. But they always look so aged. And yet they are only in control of one country. One country of all the countries in the world. There's over 70 countries. Jesus came and he had to have lordship over the entire earth. He waited till he was 30 years old to start, and then he goes into the desert for 40 days and the devil tempts him. The devil takes him up and says, I know you had a rough childhood. I know you didn't have all the things that everybody who had a stable home, and we don't even know what happened to his dad. After Luke 2, Joseph disappears. So you might even say he comes from a broken home or where his father died prematurely, because we have no idea what happened to Joseph. Jesus has all that against him, and the devil says, I will give you everything. I was listening to an interview with Katy Perry earlier this week. How many of you know, you might know her music, but she grew up in the home of a traveling pastor. Her parents went from church to church. They would travel around the United States preaching in different places and establishing churches. And she would go and be a worship leader at Christian summer camps. And then somewhere along the line, she started taking her music out to other people. She got picked up by a record label. And if you listen to her talk about her faith now, what she says is, I believe that somewhere out there, there's some kind of higher intelligence than ours that maybe is some kind of God, maybe it's some kind of alien, I don't know. She got lost somewhere. And a lot of people think it was right around the time they said, come here, we'll give you millions of dollars. Jesus had that same kind of moment. The devil takes him, and just like a record deal person, just like a Hollywood producer, just like your average American drug dealer comes along and says, come on, I'll give you the world. You're fabulous, baby, fabulous. Come on over here. And Jesus says, no. He won't even let him make bread for him. If you think about somebody offering you millions of dollars, the devil is saying, just make some bread. And Jesus says, no. Man does not live on bread alone. He says, oh, well, you have angels. You're royalty in heaven. You have angels guarding you. Hop off of this tower. And the angels will lift you up, because the Bible says, you know, the Old Testament says, the angels will lift you up so you won't dash your foot against the stone. Jesus says, what? I will not tempt the Lord my God. And then finally he brings out the coup de grace, the big ending, and says, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything. The whole world will be yours. But Jesus knew what he was destined for. That he, even born as that little baby and growing up as a young man and then going to the cross, that he was going to get the world anyway. And it was going to be a little bit harder than what the devil was offering. But he also knew that if he took the devil's advice, we would all be lost. There would be no hope for us. There would be no salvation. I love the I'm trying to remember the name of it off the top of my head right now. The song where it goes, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." There's Handel's Messiah. You know that one? It's a very, very long song, but it goes back to that verse in Isaiah where it says, "And the government will be upon his shoulders." It's not just the government, it's the whole world. It's every single one of us. He's a normal-sized human being walking around holding up all of us on his shoulders. I can't even imagine how tremendous the weight would be. Can you imagine if a mortal human being had to do it? You think the presidents age fast? It'd be like 3 milliseconds and they'd be a skeleton, just, you know, like the ending of Indiana Jones. It wouldn't go well. But there's one thing that he gave to us that helps him on his mission. He gave us a job to do too. That's the job of being his hands and feet in the world, the job of taking that message to a hurting and lost and darkness dwelling people. Jesus himself had a hard time with it. When Jesus is about to go to the cross, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's asked the simplest thing, stay awake and pray to his disciples. Just stay awake. They can't handle it. They've had a little bit too much lamb and a little bit too much wine and they're all passed out. And he goes over to him and he goes, Peter, James, John, get up. The enemy is upon us. But just before that, he had been praying to the Father God and he says, if it is your will, let this cup pass from my lips. He knew this was coming when he was born. How many of you can say, when I was born, my parents looked at me and said, 33 years old, you're going to die. And they knew it too, and they told you about it, and he had that message in his mind for the moment of his birth. How many of you would like to tell that to your kids when they're 4, 5, 6 years old? How many of you would like to know that that's what's going to happen to your kids? How many of you would like to keep your kids safe from all harm for all of eternity and never let anything negative ever happen to them, ever? Hands up! But Mary knew. The angel came to her and told her, this child that is going to be born to you will cause the rising and falling of many people, and they will be against him. She knew what was being asked of her. Jesus was tempted, but did not fall. Jesus knew that he had to save each of us, that he had to lead each of us into that holy light, that he knew what heaven was all about because he'd been there and he'd seen it. The Bible says there has only been one person who has ever passed from this world into the next and come back, which is really interesting because I wonder what Lazarus would have to say about that. Maybe they knew that Lazarus wasn't going to make it, so they stopped him at the border and said, hang on, you're getting called back, go. He never actually got there. Jesus accepted the job of saving us before time even began, knowing what it meant, knowing he would leave his throne and come to die. That baby Jesus is all the love of heaven and all the salvation of the earth condensed into a tiny form. And that tiny package is delivered to us with the instructions of love me as I have loved you. Obey the commands of heaven and you will enter in and enjoy all the splendors that are awaiting you. Amen.